Okay. Lamed Chesem Abeis. The Mishnah towards the bottom. I also want to thank Menachem for pitching in the past 2 days, and appreciate being on the team with him, with you. Okay. Mishnah. Einosin. Bottom Lamed Chesem Abeis. Einosin Beis. So remember, we're talking about different issues of Bishul on Shabbos. The first two Mishnahs here in Kiwa were about Bishul Durabanan. Now we're switching to Bishul Da'oraisa. And then we'll go back to Bishul Durabanan afterwards. Says the Mishnah. When it's not allowed to put an egg next to an urn, a hot water urn, in order that it should get cooked. That's what, if you put the egg, I guess, in this very hot situation, it's going to get cooked. You can't put it in next to this urn. As we're going to see, the Chiddush in the Mishnah is, the Gemara is going to tell us, is that this is toldos or. This isn't or, this isn't fire itself. This is something you're using, the medium of heat that you are using to cook this egg is not fire, but it's something that was cooked through fire, the urn. Yet, you are still chayv mida oraisa, as we will see. V'lo yafgana b'sudarin, you're also not allowed to heat it up with a handkerchief, and Rashi here explains, as the Gemara will, that this handkerchief was heated up through the sun, not through fire, but says the Tanakama, you're not allowed to heat it up on a handkerchief either. Reb Yossi Matir. Reb Yossi is Matir, he does not hold of that. Then he says that you're allowed to heat it up on the handkerchief. V'lo yatminena b'chol u'ba'avak drachim b'shvil shetitzaleh. You're also not allowed to be matmin, from the word hatmana, to hide it, to enclose the item. You're not allowed to enclose the item b'chol in sand, u'ba'avak drachim, or a kind of dirt, b'shvil shetitzaleh. Or it's like sand also, you could heat it in these items. You're not allowed to heat it in these items so that it gets cooked either. The Gemara is going to explain each of these lines. Maisa shatsu anshi Tveria. There was a story with the people of Tveria. Behaviu silon shatsonin lutoch amashal chamin. And they brought a pipe of cold water through an aqueduct, through an ama of chamin, of hot water. According to the most mefarshim, this means that, as Rashi explains here, that before Shabbos, they set up this system that they had. Say in Tveria, they have these hot springs. So what they wanted to do was use warm water on Shabbos. So they took a cold pipe, a pipe of cold water, and they ran it through the hot springs. So then, as the water passed through, it would get warmed. It would empty out into another pool somewhere down the road or somewhere next to the hot springs. So that water would be warm, because that water would have been, they set this up before Shabbos. That's what Rashi says. You see Rashi, v'heviyo silon mib od yom, you set it up before Shabbos, shiltzonik de l'chamamon, to warm it up, and the water would come throughout the Shabbos. That's what the people of Tveria did. I guess they asked some rabbis, or they had an ass, and they just set it up. And they did this before Shabbos. And Tosfos points out that we had a Gemara earlier in the Masechta that says Me'ikar Hadin, setting something like this up on Erev Shabbos shouldn't be a problem. We spoke about putting the sprinkler on before Shabbos. Tosfos says the Gemara on Daf Yud Chesem and Aleph Poskin Mayim Lagina Umizvalis Volechas Kol HaShabbos Kula. We had the issue of Shvisas Kalim between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai Asr Shvisas Kalim. Your Kalim also have to rest on Shabbos, but Beis Hillel Matar. So Me'ikar Hadin, this should be Mutter. Unless the Gemara there said there were certain exceptions that even Beis Hillel agrees to. If it's very loud, Avshamilsa, Hashma'as Kol. If there's a shash of something, Shemi Yechata Bekachalim, then also Beis Hillel would agree. But here, the Anshei Tveria did it. The Chachamim said to them, it was a problem. In B'Shabbos, Kechamit Shochma B'Shabbos, if it's the water was heated on Shabbos, so then it's like water that was mamish, heated on Shabbos, Lamaisa, Vasur and Berachitza, Vishdiya. And it is usur to use that water for washing or for drinking. As we saw yesterday's daf was all about Maisa Shabbos. What if you do something on a Shabbos? That was about Bishul D'Oraisa. This is even about Bishul D'Rabbanan. Even by Bishul D'Rabbanan, sometimes there's a concept of Maisa Shabbos. If it's heated on Shabbos, there's Kaha B'Shuchu B'Shabbos, and it's also Rechitza B'Shiyah. In B'Yantif, if it was the water that was heated, was a Yantif, Kechamin Shehuchmu B'Yantif, it's like water that was heated on Yantif. And it's usur to wash with the water, and it's mutter to drink the water. The Gemara will talk a little bit about the concept of tzarech ochel nefesh. We know that you're allowed to, let's say, cook water on Yantif for to drink. So what does it mean? Usur and berachitza, mutar and b'shtia. We're going to talk about that concept. Okay, Tosfos here explains that if this is mutter, Tosfos says, On the fifth line, after he says that why it's mutter based on the first parak, the asru berachitza gezera shemi arvin b'shabbos. Well, arvin b'shabbos asru mishum told us aor v'chashiva kachad gezera. So it says the problem here is that we're worried that if you're allowed to do this, so then maybe you might come to do it on Shabbos itself. If you're allowed to set up the system before Shabbos, then this we're koshesh that hey, you're cooking the water before Shabbos. Maybe if I do it on Shabbos too, because am I really directly cooking the water? It's just going through. It's just getting warm. So there are worries that people will see this and then come to mix the water on Shabbos itself. So that's why it's usher midrabanan, different than just stam putting on a sprinkler before Shabbos, which is watering the grass. That's what the first Gemara talked about. That was a Zoreya issue. So there's a chash that you're actually going to be Zoreya on Shabbos. But here, because it has to do with warming the water, so people might think certain types of warming is mutter. And that's why it's a problem. Says the Gemara. Iboiluhu gilgel mai. Says the Gemara, so what if you are megalgel? You put this egg, you roll this egg next to the urn on Shabbos. What's the halacha? Amr of Yosef, gilgel chayiv chatos. This halacha, Gilgel, you're chai v'chad. This is not an issa d'rabbanan, at least the first line of the Mishnah. We're talking about an issa d'araisa here. And you're chai v'karban chatos if you did this b'shoke. Amar my braid Ravina, afanana mitanina. My braid Ravina says, I also learned it based on the Mishnah later on. This is the Mishnah that we're about to do of Bishal Achar Bishal. This is the Mishnah. The Mishnah quote is from Kuf Mem Hema Beis. Kol Shabbat b'chavim l'fnei Shabbos, anything that came into contact with hot water before Shabbos. In other words, anything that was cooked. That's what Baba Chaman. Anything that was cooked before Shabbos, shomer noso b'chamin b'Shabbos, you're allowed to then soak it in Chaman on Shabbos because of the principle of ein bishul achar bishul. V'chol shaloba, again, there are many details which hopefully we'll have a chance to discuss. Lach, yavesh, but in general, that's the principle. Anything that comes into contact with Chaman before Shabbos, you can soak it in Chaman on Shabbos. V'chol shaloba b'chamin b'lefei Shabbos, and if it was not cooked before Shabbos, if it did not come into contact with Chamin, Madichin Oso B'chamin B'Shabbos. So all you're allowed to do is you're allowed to sprinkle Chamin on it on Shabbos, because that is not really cooking it. That's the assumption of the Mishnah. We'll have to talk about that in a minute. Chutz, except for, there are exceptions. Chutz ben amaliach yashter v'kol yisvei spanin. Except for these two types of foods, maliach yashan is one type of salty food. V'kol yisvei spanin, Rashi here says it's tuna. Dakshakur and Tunina. These types of food is what's called Kale Bishul in Halacha, things that are cooked very easily. And therefore those, even the Hadacha, even the sprinkling on these items with hot water would not be allowed. Shahadachasan Zuhi Gemar Malachton. Shbamina, because the Hadacha, the sprinkling, would actually finish the job, would cook it. And therefore by those things called Kale Bishul, that would be Asr. Shbamina. So that's where you see that even cooking something with question, what's the Shvamina? Well, let's say the simple interpretation is that you see from this Mishnah also that even Toldos Eish is something that you're chayiv for Mida Araisa. Just like the Mishnah spoke about the urn, putting the egg next to the urn, so to here you're cooking something in the hot water is also Toldos Eish, so that's what you see from the Mishnah as well. Number of points that we have to mention regarding this Mishnah. Number one, it says Kol Shabbat B'chamin Milafnei Shabbos. Anything that was cooked before Shabbos can be cooked on Shabbos. That's the principle of Bishul Achar Bishul. There is a discussion, not for now. What about other types of preparation of food? What about sli? What about afia? What happens when you mix and match different ways of preparing foods? Roasting, cooking, baking. So the Gemara here is just talking about Bishul Achar Bishul, the same exact one. It's not so simple when you get to different types of cooking that the same principle would apply. It says the Mishnah, Koshuva b'chamim lefnei Shabbos. What does it mean that it was cooked before Shabbos? How much was it cooked? So if you look at Tosfos, Koshuva b'chamim lefnei Shabbos, Tosfos says, Pirish shenis vashel legamrei. Kid the first lekamad b'per chavis. Tosfos says, when it says that it was cooked before Shabbos, that means it was cooked totally. Mashma from Tosfos, that it was only, if it was only cooked a certain amount, let's say machol ben drusai, if it was cooked a third or a half, machlokas Rashi Rambam, so then maybe this principle wouldn't apply. So the first to point out, this seems to be the shita of the anybody remember of the Rambam, that there is bishul achar, there is bishul d'oraisa even after machol ben drusai until you get up to mavushal kol sarcho. That is the shita of the Rambam, that even if something is edible, and even we know that Bishul D'Araisa is going until Machol Ben Drusai, but even after Machol Ben Drusai, until it gets fully cooked, there is still Bishul D'Araisa. That could be why Tosfos here says Pirush is Bashal Lagamre, because it has to be totally cooked before Shabbos in order to apply the principle of Bishal Achavishal. But if it was only Machal Bedrusoi, then it wouldn't apply. Says the Rashba here, Lishitaso. We mentioned the Rashba is the one that argues on the Rambam. The Rashba in Ardath. The Shuv ain't bo bishal achar bishal. Machlokas Tosfos in the Rashba, because the Rashba shita is that once something is machlo ben drusai, it might be also midrabanan to cook after that. But then we wouldn't have. That's not what the Mishnah is talking about. The Mishnah is talking about daraisa, and therefore ain't bo mishum bishal once it is machlo ben drusai. That is one machlokas on the first line of that Mishnah on our Gemara. Machlokas Tosfos, who sees the whole like the Rambam, versus the Rashba. But what about the second line? Then it says, Kol shelo ba b'chamim lefei Shabbos. If it wasn't cooked before Shabbos, so then you're not allowed to soak it in chamin, but you're allowed to be mediach it b'chamin b'Shabbos. So what do we say mediach means? To sprinkle it b'chamin. You're allowed to sprinkle hot water on it if something's not cooked. So what's that? You're allowed to sprinkle hot water on it? Where are you sprinkling from? What kind of clear are you sprinkling from? So we've discussed, last Shabbos we discussed it, we'll discuss it more to Besserim tomorrow. There's something called the Kli Rishon, there's something called the Kli Sheni. Right, a Kli Rishon is a pot that was used on the fire to cook with. Even after you take it off the fire and it's still burning hot, that is still called the Kli Rishon. It's called the Kli Rishon Shehusar Me'al Ha'esh, a Kli that was taken off the fire. Once you switch that, you pour that to another Kli, so then that's called the Kli Sheni. That's a Kli Rishon, that's a Kli Sheni. There are some Kalim that you're not sure what they are, a ladle. Is a ladle called a Kli Sheni? It goes into the Kli Rishon, but it's taken out. So that's not so clear, so the Mishnah Berurah discusses it. But here, says the Gemara, if you have something that was not cooked before Shabbos, you're allowed to sprinkle on Shabbos. Tosfos asks, where are you sprinkling from? If you're sprinkling from a Kli Rishon or a Kli Sheni? Tosfos notes the Machlokas that we discussed a couple of weeks ago, but it's also quoted, the main Sugya is later on Daf Mem, where is this? Mem Beis Amid Beis, the top Tosfos. Tosfos Aval quotes three different opinions about the concept of Irui. Irui means when you pour from a Kli onto something. Let's say I have a hot Kli Rishon and I pour into a Kli Sheni, but my food is already on the bottom of the Kli Sheni. So that's not called a Kli Sheni. I'm not cooking in a Kli Sheni there, because when the food gets hit by the boiling instrument, it's that water hasn't hit the Kli Sheni yet. So in halacha, it might not have the status of a Kli Sheni, but it's not in a Kli Rishon anymore either. I'm not putting my food into the Kli Rishon. So that's what's called Irui. Irui, you're pouring. So you could have something called Irui Kli Rishon. You pour from the Kli Rishon into the food that's in the Kli Sheni. You could have Irui Kli Sheni. So what's the halacha of Irui Kli Rishon? Let's say it's very important. The urn is my Kli Rishon, and if I put something, if I put my coffee stuff, or if I put my tea bag, or if I put whatever it is on the bottom in my cup, and I pour directly from the urn, that's called Iri Kli Rishon. What's the halacha? So Tosfos quotes, and Tosfos here refers to it a little bit. That's a three-way machlokas Rishonim. The Rashbam, Rabbeinu Tam, and other Baalei Tosfos. The Rashbam holds that Kli Rishon is Kli Sheni. That's the Rashbam. The second that it leaves the wall of the Kli Rishon, boom, it's already called the Kli Sheni. That's the Rashbam. Says Tosfos, according to that opinion, then this Mishnah is no problem. Because what does the Mishnah say? If it's not cooked, you're allowed to sprinkle it. You're allowed to do Irui. So, no problem. It could even be from the Kli Rishon. Because says the Rashbam, the second that it leaves the Kli Rishon, it's called the Kli Sheni. And we know the principle from Daf Mem, Bez Hashem, the Gemara is going to say tomorrow, Kli Sheni Einam Avashel. So therefore, the second that it leaves the Kli Rishon and you're pouring onto the food, Kli Rishon, it's called the Kli Sheni. And therefore, what's the Mishnah talking about? Irui from a Kli Rishon. That's what Tosfos says. Look at the fourth line of Tosfos. Medichanos al apirish Rashba, which should be a Rashbam. Many point out, the mefarish the Irui k'Kli Sheni, asi shaper hacha, that it fits in beautifully here. The ain't showing us of a Kli Rishon. You can't soak it in a Kli Rishon unless it was cooked before Shabbos. Avo medichanos al mi Kli Rishon, derech Irui. So according to the Rashbam, this Mishnah works out. Abal apirish Rabbeinu Tam, and according to Rabbeinu Tam, does not hold that way. Rabbeinu Tam is machmir. Rabbeinu Tam says that when you do Irui Kli Rishon, that's k'Kli Rishon. It's just as if you're pouring it into the first Kli. So therefore the question is, what's this Mishnah talking about? The Mishnah says if it wasn't cooked before Shabbos, you can't soak it in the Kli Rishon, but you could pour a sprinkle onto it. So you have to say, according to Rabbeinu Tam, that here we're talking about from a Kli Sheni. Avalapir Rabbeinu Tam to Mefarish to Iri having a Kli Rishon. According to Rabbeinu Tam, that pouring from a Kli Rishon is just like a Kli Rishon. Al Karcha Madirna Som a Kli Sheni Kamar. So it has to be Kikli Sheni. That is what Rabbi Tam says. Tosfos says it would be a machlokas between the Rashbam and Rabbi Tam. What is the interpretation of this Mishnah? And then he says another, maybe even Bikli Sheni ain't Shorin, because it's Mexican Mavashal, which we'll talk about. But that is 2 days in Tosfos, how to understand this line of the Mishnah. Fine, and just one more Ha'ara, and then we'll go further. And that is the last line. Again, there's a Ha'ara on each line of this Mishnah quoted. The Mishnah says, except for these Kale Bishol, these things that cook quickly, because Hadachasan Zuhi Gemar Malachtan. Rov Rishonim here say, we're talking about the issue of Bishol, right? Because this sprinkling is Kale Bishol. The only difficulty is the Lashon of Gemar Malachtan. It's a little difficult. That Lashon usually doesn't come up by Bishol. Where does it come up? It comes up by Makeh B'Patish, which is Malachah number 38. That whenever you finish something, that's called the final hammer blow, Makeh B'Patish. So is anyone who says this is Makeh B'Patish? So 99% of the people do not. The Bir Halacha in Shin Yud Ches Dalet, where this halacha is quoted, quotes the Prima Gadim, and earlier the Lavush, who says that it's Makeh B'Patish. He says, the Mishim Sheino Yachol Lechol Kabli Hadacha Chivu Mishim Makeh B'Patish. It doesn't say that they got it from this Lashon, but that's probably where they got it from. V'hine Lavush Gamkein, but then the Mishnah Berurah says, in the Bir Halacha, Avol Be'emes Lo Nihira Dover Zeh Klal, the Kfar Tov Azalav Elio Rabba, the Rashi V'Rabba Mavur Lahadya Dechivu Mishim Bishol. Elavada Debe'elu Hanyanim Loshayach Makeh B'Patish, and he ends off by saying, Vadai Debe'inyanim Elu Shel Ochel Loshayach Shel Makeh B'Patish. The Malacha Makeh B'Patish, according to Rova Poskim, can't apply to foods. Makeh B'Patish applies to Kalim, it applies to buildings, it can't apply to foods. And at the end he says, Deidim Makeh B'Patish Be'ochel Hudavar Chadash Lo Nimsa B'Poskim, V'yadar Abba Yishkam Astiros, V'yalkein Ein Lahachmir Ba'adachas Chamim Mishom Gavna, that when it comes to foods, the Malacha does not apply. Okay, the Makeh B'Patish itself is a very interesting malacha. Like, shouldn't every malacha be Makeh B'Patish? Whenever you finish cleaning, whenever you finish cooking. But again, that's what the post can deal with, why it isn't, and how you define the malacha. But either way, here, even though the Lashon sounds like Makeh B'Patish, Rov Rishonim say, or Or Rishonim say, that it was talking about Bishol, and not Makeh B'Patish. Yeah. Is the reason why we pour it from one thing to another is because on Shabbos to make tea is because of 2 points. Number one, we are machmir. There's a third opinion which I didn't mention in Tosfos about Irui, and that is Mevashel Kedei Klipa. It cooks the outer layer. So that's it. That's what we're machmir for that shita. But number two, tea bags are Kale Bishol, according to most. And the Kale Bishol, we said, that's like fits in like to the exceptions in the last line of the Mishnah. That even in a klisheni they could be cooked, and therefore you have to put it into a klishlishi. According to Ramosha is the one that said that klishlishi is not mentioned to the Gemara, and therefore it's mutter. Other poskim say that even klishlishi is a problem. But coffee pieces are probably not a kali bishul, so therefore in a klisheni it would be fine. Because the second, until it hits the klisheni, if you say the svara, which we're going to have on daf mem also, if you say the question was why isn't what's the svara to say iri kli rishon is not a klisheni? So the svara is that it could be that what makes something a klisheni is that the walls of the klisheni help cool off what's inside. So therefore, when you're pouring from the kli rishon, if it's going to hit the food before it gets cooled by the walls of the klisheni, so then it doesn't have the status of klisheni yet. Okay, next fighter in the Gemara. V'lo yefkiana besudarin, said the Mishnah, you can't put the egg on hot handkerchiefs. V'had itznan, later on the Mishnah says, notin tavshel l'toch habor b'shvil shiyei shamur. Later on in the Masechta says that you can't put a cooked item into a pit in order to guard it on Shabbos. V'samayim ayafim b'ram b'shvil shiyei tzanu, or to cool off. You're allowed to put into the bar to allow it to guard it, and you're allowed to put good water, Mayim Yafim, into bad water, Bishvil Sheyitzanu, Sananu, so that it could stay cool. The last line is important for us. Vesatzonein Bechama, Bishvil Sheyechamu. And you're allowed to put cold water into hot water in order to warm up the water. Lamer Rabbi Yossi Yivel Rabbanan. Is this Mishnah? The Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Yossi, not Rabbanan? What do you mean? What Rabbi Yossi? In our Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi is the one that says you're allowed to put the egg onto this handkerchief that's heated by the sun. We'll call that Toldos Chama. something that was heated by the sun. So Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah, the Machlokas in our Mishnah about it. So Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah is one that says it's mutter. So is he the author of this Mishnah later on that says we're talking about a pit that has water in it? Lachora, that water was heated by the sun, and it says it's mutter to put the cold water there into the hot water. So is that Mishnah like Rabbi Yossi and not the Rabbanan? So Amar Rabbi Nachman, no. B'chama tekuli amalo pligi d'shari. What's the issue? What's the machlokas here? In the sun itself, everybody agrees it's mutter. It's mutter to cook in the sun on Shabbos. We'll get the Rashi in a minute. That everybody agrees to. But told us ar kol amalo pligi, and that's an iser de oraisa. But told us ar kol amalo pligi de aser. Cooking with something, cooking with fire. The Gemara doesn't even mention that. Cooking with fire is also aser de oraisa on Shabbos. Even cooking with something that was heated by fire, that is also usser mida oraisa on Shabbos. Cooking with something that was heated by the fire, right? Like we mentioned, putting a little cold water into hot water, putting on your hot water faucet so that the cold water goes into the hot water tank in your basement, that's usser, could be usser daraisa on Shabbos. But keep pligi. There's machlokas between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yossi is betoldas achama by something that was heated by the sun. Can you cook with that item? Mar Savar Gazrinan told us kama alter told us are. One says the Tanakama holds and we hold that your gozer, something that was heated by the sun, atu, something that was heated by the fire, because there people can get confused. They could see an item, they don't know if it was heated by the sun or the fire. They'll think it was heated by the fire, but it really was heated by the sun, so they'll get confused and therefore get to be gozer by both. Umar Savar lo gazrinan. And others say, lo gazrina, no. Rabbi Yossi says that you're not gozer, and therefore only toldos or is usser, but toldos chama is not usser. But sun itself, that's not going to be confused with fire. So the poskim say this is an example of yafa koach haben mikoach ha'av, that the tolda, the offspring of the sun, is usser midrabanan, while the sun itself is mutter. So it just shows how sometimes the child could be stronger than the father. Told us Aris Chayev because that is also part of the definition of Bishul. Not Xeris. No, it's not Xeris. Asim Midaraisa. The definition of Bishul is a significant change in an item through the medium of heat. What is defined as heat? So heat is fire. It's not defined as fire. It's defined as fire. Or something heated in fire is also called enough to be Chayev Midaraisa. So what about the sun? Why isn't the sun called fire? Why isn't the sun called Bishul? Why isn't that heat? So Rashi, the well-known Rashi here, fourth skinny line, Deshari, why is it mutter in the sun? De ein derech bishulo bakach. It's not derech bishul to cook in the sun. Again, we're going to talk a lot about this tomorrow. So those of you who are here, keep it in the back of your minds. We'll read some of the tshuvas inside. What does it mean, derech bishulo? Is this like it's unusual? What if it's like with your left hand? Is like a shinui? What if it becomes usual to cook in the sun? Can it ever become normal? What if you live in the Sahara Desert and you always cook in the sun? So you chayiv for Bishul Bachama. So most poskim say that this is a halachic ein derech bishul. It's not like other shinuis. Ein derech bishul means halachically, for some reason, chama will always be called ein derech bishul. It's not that chama is a shinui like left hand. But halachically, chama is somehow, there's a chisaron in this definition, in the definition of bishul. But it's not like other ein derech bishul. So again, it comes up two issues that relate to this Rashi. Number one is microwaves. Remotion is shuvah and chelik gimel, but microwaves talk about microwaves. It doesn't have a fire either. It's something connected. It's not exactly like it's not solar, but it's some other type of cooking. So Remotion has a shuvah where is this ein derech bishul? But everybody uses microwaves. A remote interesting in that shuvah, Remotion wrote it earlier before microwaves were so common, and he writes that I think this is going to become the new way of cooking. Everybody's going to use it. He was a navi. He was he said it's gonna happen. But Remotion there relates to this issue whether cooking with a microwave. Obviously, it's at least asumi derabanan, but is it daraisa or derabanan? A. B, there's a big discussion a couple of decades ago when the Dud Shemeshes, Duday Shemesh in Israel started coming out. So is that called Chama or is that called Toldos Chama? Is that water, are those sun, right, sun heaters on the roof, are those called cooking in the sun or not? So the Har Tzvi has a tshuva about it, where he's Mekel, most of the poskim are Machmir. But again, that is an issue related to whether that's Chama or Toldos Chama. Okay. Lo yatminan bachol. And that's what we pass alachol ma'isa, by the way. You can't cook with fire or anything heated with fire, or anything that was heated by the sun, that's all asur. First two are daraisa, the third is derabanan. But anything heated in the sun, so that's mutter. So again, if you have a hot, it's a boiling hot day, you want to put something out on the, if you're going to put out, let's say you're soaking wet, you come back and it was pouring rain, and then the sun comes out. So you're not allowed to put your wet clothes on the radiator, right? Because that was ultimately heated by, connected to fire. But you're allowed to put your wet clothes out on the chaise in the backyard, as long as it's going to get cooked by the sun and not by the chaise, right? If it's going to get, the chaise is boiling hot, and it's going to get, usually it's not going to get cooked by a hot chaise. I mean, no matter how hot it is, that's not going to cook it. But, you know, in the, as long as it's by the sun, so that's not us. Fine. The next line of the, after it says, you're not allowed to, you had a machlokas in the Mishnah about putting it into the handkerchief. That was a machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yossi, a machlokas about Toldos Chama, says the Gemara, and you're not allowed to put it into sands, or avak drachim, or dust on the dirt, on the earth, bishvol shetit saleh, so that it gets cooked. So Valiflan Amir Rabbi Yossi Baha asks the Gemara, this is also a case of Toldos Chama, right, the sand. But here Rabbi Yossi doesn't argue. Case A, putting it on the handkerchief, that's a case of Toldos Chama. And Rabbi Yossi argues, so this next line is also Toldos Chama. So why doesn't Rabbi Yossi argue here? So says the Gemara, no, there's an extra problem here, which is why Rabbi Yossi agrees le'isser here. Yes, he holds of Toldos Chama. He holds Toldos Chama is mutter. But there's two possibilities of an added problem here, where you're not allowed to put it into the sand or the dust of the earth in order to cook it. Rabba Amar Gzera Shemiyathim Beremetz. Rabba says it's a Gzera that if you stick it into the dirt, people might think that you're also, Rashi says, right, people might think you're allowed to put it into hot ashes, hot remetz. What's the difference between putting it into sand, putting it into remetz? So therefore, you're not allowed to even put it into sand. It's a Gzera Drabanan. You're right. Officially told us Chama is mutter. Separate Gzera. Rav Yossi Amar Bebnei Shemezes Afer Mimkomo. Rav Yossi says it has something to do with Bishul. It has to do with Mezes Afer Mimkomo. What does that mean? So here, there's a discussion in the postgame. Rashi here says it means that you might want to put it, you want to put it into the dirt to warm it up, but there might not be enough loose dirt next to where you are, so you're going to dig next to where you are in order to get loose dirt to cover it up, and that's going to be the malacha of Choresh, of Chofer Guma, of plowing, malacha number one. So that's why you can't, the word goes there to putting this in, even according to Rabbi Yossi, because we're worried that you might do Choresh. Tosfos here says, fifth wide line, Mefarsha Beinu Tam, this isn't an issue of Choresh. Doesn't it sound, Mezes Ofrim Imkomo doesn't sound like Choresh. Right, so it says Rabbeinu Tam, fifth wide line. Mefarsh Rabbeinu Tam shemezes afer shehu muksa. It's a muksa issue. Mimkomo, dirt is muksa machlas gufo. Unless you prepare dirt before Shabbos and you're making it. Let's say you put dirt into a sandbox, so that's making it as a toy. But if you have special dirt or sand on the beach, that's muksa. So it says Rabbeinu Tam, that's the issue, because when you put the egg into the hole, you are by Derech Agav, you are moving dirt. The suber of Yosef, it adds on, Rav Yosef here holds that even indirect movement of muksa is muksa. Toto menatzad shmei toto. So that's machlokas, Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. What exactly is the chashash here? Mezes afar, is that choresh issue, or is that a muksa issue? Interesting, if it's a muksa issue, muksa is drabanan. It's a chomer drabanan, and it's ein lo ikr min hatorah, though. So it's, according to the Rabbeinu Tam, we're being gozer here, mishum muksa. It's an interesting point. So those are two possibilities why Rabbi Yossi would aser here, even though it is told us chama. What's the difference between these two reasons? The difference is if you have loose dirt. If you have loose dirt, so then there is no issue of mezes afar, but there is an issue of shemen yapin beremetz. People are still going to think that you could hide it in there. Meisvei, Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer. We're going to ask a kasha on this because Reb Shimon Gamliel says, Magalgan beitzal gabe gati chawach, v'imagalgan beitzal gabe siti chawach. Reb Shimon Gamliel says, you're allowed to roast an egg. You're allowed to put an egg on a boiling hot roof, because that's told as chama, so that's how you see Rav Shimon Gamliel holds like Rav Yossi. That's why we're going to be able to ask the question. You're allowed to put it on a hot roof, but you're not allowed to put it on hot sid, hot lime. That's what Rav Shimon Gamliel says, but as we just said, that seems to link to the sheet of Rav Yossi. Bish l'malamanta amar gzeir shem yapen beremetz. I understand the difference between a hot roof and hot lime, according to the first opinion of shem yapen beremetz, that we're worried that in the case of the dirt on the ground, we're worried that you're going to hide it. People are going to think that you can hide it in remets and hot coals also, like a lemigzar. So here, there's no issue of a gzera on gabe sid roseach, because that's toldos or and Rashi, and it says lekalim. I'm sorry. The next Rashi, the Rashi is lekalim migzar, because on a gag roseach you're not matzmin anything there. It's a roof, and therefore we're not going to be worried that people are going to think you're allowed to be matzmin beremetz. And that's why on the roof is mutter. Elamad amar v'risha mezuz offer mim kol maligzar. But according to the one who says that the issue is either chorish or muksa, so shouldn't you be gozer on the roof also? Because the roof, what the roof? The roof isn't like what we have with tiles or with a fancy roof that we have there flat. It's some dirt up there. So therefore, why aren't you gozer for either muksa or chorish? So says the Gemara, no, even in those days, stam gag lesley offer. No, lechora, it's no dirt up there. The wind blows it off. It's a roof, and they plastered it. So therefore, according to either opinion, on the roof, there is no gzeira. Fine. Tashma, another kasha on these shitos from the story in the Mishnah. And the story in the Mishnah was about they brought the people of Tveria took this pipe before Shabbos and they set this pipe of cool water. They set it up before Shabbos to shoot through the chamin, shoot through the hot springs, come out the other side, and therefore through that way that will be heated. The water will be heated and be warm for them to use on Shabbos. Says the Gemara. I understand, according to the first opinion, of Shema Yatzmin Beremetz, you might come to hide it in the Remetz, that's the Chashash, then I understand the flow of the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah has the line of, you can't hide it in the Chol in the Avak Drachim, and we just said, Rabbi Yossi would say that's also because of this issue of Hatzmana, and then the Gemara brings the story of Anshei Tveria, which is also a Hatzmana case. Right? What is Hatzmana? Hatzmana means, which we're going to get to a lot in the Be'ez Hashem in the next week, Hatzmana is totally enclosing something in order to keep in its heat or to heat it up even more. That's Hatzmana, totally surrounding something in order to warm it up. So says the Gemara, if the issue of the hiding it in the sand is an issue of Shema Yatmin Beremetz, we're worried people might hide it in hot ash. So I understand the flow of the Mishnah, because the next one is also about Hatmana. It's about having this cold water totally encircled in the hot springs. So I understand the flow of the Mishnah. But according to the second opinion, that the issue is because we're worried about moving dirt, right? Choresh or Muksa. So Michael Amemar, then what's the flow of the Mishnah? We're talking about Hatzmana, then we switch to Choresh, or we switch to Muksa. What's going on here? So says the Gemara, no. Me Savris, Maisa Tveria, Seifekoi. Who says the story has to be referring to the line previously? Areshakoi. The story is referring to the beginning of the Mishnah. Lo Yafgianabus Sudar and Rabbi Yossi Matir. The first line of the Mishnah had a machlokes between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi about whether you're allowed to put it into a handkerchief, which was a bona fide machlokes about Toldas Chama. And this story is a continuation of that conversation. That the Rabbanan say to Rabbi Yossi, HaMaisa Dan Shitveri, the Toldas Chama, Hu Vasvi Lu Rabbanan. Those hot springs, are they heated by the sun? And you see the Rabbanan got upset at the Chami, at the Anshei Tveria. So you see, we're right. You see that you can't use Toldos Cham on Shabbos. So the Mishnah is relating to the previous part of the Mishnah. This story is relating to the previous part of the Mishnah. Amar Lahus, Rabbi Yossi answers back to them, no, I argue on the Metzius. Hahu Toldos Arninu. The hot springs are not Toldos Cham, it's Toldos Ar. The Chalfi Apischa de Gehenim. Because in the bottom of the, in the belly of the earth, is the Pischa de Gehenim, and that's really what's heating these hot springs. Again, I don't really understand, can't explain, I see the eyes, what exactly that means. Either way, that Rabbi Yossi considers that there is some type of heating element within the earth that is heating these hot springs, and not the sun, and therefore it's called Toldos Or, and not Toldos Chama, and that's why the Rabbanan got upset. Okay, it's unclear exactly what, obviously we know, like these geysers, right, out in Montana, right, so how are they heated? Yes, these hot springs. Throw it down below. They're not heated by the sun. It's all under the earth, and they come up, they're heated by something inside, right? We know the temperatures inside the earth are boiling. So what? So that's told us or. Out of what about the Rabbanan? The Rabbanan knows it's not heated by the sun, what would they say? So maybe it means that if it's a fire Hashem makes, maybe that's like the sun is also fire, right? So maybe the machlokas is, how do you define that fire inside the earth? Hashem made that fire. So how can you call that Eish? That's Or, just like the Chama. So it could be that's the Machlokas. I don't think it's a Machlokas in Metzias here, but it could be a Machlokas. How do you define that fire in the belly of the earth? Is that Or, like Rabbi Yossi says, or is that Chama, like the Rabbanan say, because it comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That's what the Machlokas could be about. Amar Rav Chisda. Fine, last three lines. Yeah, last three words. Amar Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda says, Mi Maisa Sha'asu Anshi Tveriya Vasri Luhu Rabbanon Batla Hatzmana V'davar Mosef Hevel V'afilu Mi Be'odyo. Once there was the story of the people of Tveria that tried to shoot this pipe through the hot water and the Rabbanon Asered, once we have that psak, so we see Batla, the whole idea of Hatzmana. Hatzmana again means totally enclosing something. V'davar Hamosef Hevel, in material that adds heat. That's Mosef Hevel, afilu mi b'od yom, even from Friday. Says Rav Chisda, you know what you see from the story? You see from the story that there's another, besides Shehiyah, besides Hachzara, as we've discussed, there's another Issur Rabbanan of Hatzmana. That means before Shabbos, enclosing something in a, let's say you have a heated blanket. Right, something that can add heat to an item. You're not allowed to take something before Shabbos and totally enwrap it in a heating element. B'davar Mosef Hevel, even on Friday. That's the Issur D'Rabbanan of Hatzmana. Says Rav Chisda, that's what you see from the story. Because the whole story is Erev Shabbos. They set up this pipe going into through the water on Erev Shabbos, and it's still Usser. Says Rav Chisda, so you see that Hatzmana is Usser on Shabbos.
For Hatzmana,
is there a standard for how much heat it has to give? We're gonna talk about it. There are a lot of issues of Hatmana. What if there's space in between? What if it's not totally covered? That's, they say that the last psak of Shlomo Zalman gave was the Hatmana Krakpa psak. They said he was crying when he was giving the psak because he realized how this is going to make life difficult for many families of Klai. So not difficult, that they're going to have to change what they do a little bit. But that's where Shlomo Zalman talks about a crockpot being, you know, enclosing, even though the top's not enclosed. But is there a temperature? Well, I can't just keep it warm. L'chore, it would have to be at the level there's going to be a difference between two kinds of Hatmana, Mosef Hevel and Eino Mosef Hevel. Even Eino Mosef Hevel doesn't air, just preserves, keeps the heat, is going to be Asur, as we'll see on Shabbos. Before Shabbos, only Devar HaMosef Hevel. But at least here, the hot springs are going to heat up the water. Devar HaMosef Hevel, so you see it's Asur from the story. So we'll get to Hatmana. The fourth parak is all about Hatmana. So Omar Ula, we'll get to Tosfos in a minute. Let's get to the two dots. Amar Ula halacha ganshi tveria. Ula argues. Ula says that the Rabbana were wrong. Really, the Anshi Tveria were right, what they did. Amar Rav Nachman kfar tavirna Anshi Tveria l'sulunayu. What do you mean? They already broke their pipes. They already accepted what the rabbi said. What do you mean they're right? So therefore, that's what the Rabbanan were right. Pouring Tosfos on top. Tosfos says, Rav Chisda says that we learn from the story that Hatmana is Aser. Hatmana is a Mefurish Mishnah. The first Mishnah, the fourth parak. Ba'met tomnim or ba'met ain't tomnim. With what are you mutter or aser to be matzmin in? So what was Rav Chisda talking about? You learn from this story. What do you mean? We know from the Mishnah. The Mishnah says. Rav Chisda knew the Mishnah. Rav Chisda was an Amora. So what's this story teaching me that I don't know from the Ikar Adin of Hatmana? So Tosfos gives three different answers. Tosfos, the second skinny line, says, O Meri, Demastisim Lekaman Ikal Okma Bebein Hashmashos, Mibod Yom Havimin Ezeshari. Maybe the Mishnah later on is Bein Hashmashos, as we've spoken about the Lamadal Lamad Hei. But earlier in the day, who says Hatmana is also earlier in the day? So that's why we need this story, because they did it Mibod Yom. Okay, one answer. If you look down a couple of lines in Tosfos, Rav Shmuel Mivriden, Rav Shmuel from Vreden says, no, the difference is that Mishnah said it's Usser. This story is telling you that even after you did it, it's Usser to use. Usually the concept of Maisa Shabbos does not, meaning something being Usser because of what you did on Shabbos, usually that only applies to Isuri D'Oraisa, not to Isuri D'Rabbanan. Maybe the Chiddush is by Hatmana, for some reason, it's even going to be Usser to use. That's what you learn from the story. Or number three, Rabbi Yonah says that maybe Batzla means you don't have any type of Heter. Afilu b'kedera chaisa. Right, we had earlier in Daf Yud Ches that if you throw a raw piece of meat into the challen right before Shabbos, then you have nothing to worry about. Right, there's no issue of shemei yachate because you're sure going to be meisiach yudas. You're not going to think about it until the next morning. We spoke about it. Bizman hazeh that might not apply because our ovens cook much faster and we start Shabbos earlier. But meikar adin, there's something called kedera chaisa. So suggest the third day of Tosfos, maybe that heter does not apply to Hatmana for some reason. Maybe it doesn't apply to Hatmana. Rabbi Eger points out points out here to the first Tosfos there in Bamet Omnim. Maybe there's a steer in Tosfos. But again, those are three different opinions in Tosfos. What is this story teaching me that I don't know from the Ikar Hadin of Hatmana? Okay. Continue. Maisa Shazu Anshi Tverya. So says, what happened in the story? So they heated up this water. So the rabbi said to them, one second. If this water was heated up on Shabbos, so it's just like you heated water on Shabbos, and it's usher to use to drink or to wash. And if it was heated up on Yontif, it's usher to use to wash, but it's mutter to use to drink. We're going to talk about that part of the Mishnah now. Says the Gemara, my rechitza. Those, remember, part line A of the Mishnah is about Shabbos, line B of the Mishnah is about Yontif. So line A of the Mishnah, my rechitza. What did the Mishnah mean when it said that it's usher to use, it's like water that was heated up on Shabbos, and therefore it's usher to use it on Shabbos for eating, for drinking, or washing? Ilem rechitza is called gufo. If we're talking about, if the Mishnah says that it's referring to the fact that you can't wash your whole body on Shabbos. So the Mishnah says it's like water that was heated on Shabbos, and therefore you can't use it to wash. Which is mashma, that if since it was heated on, it's like water that was heated on Shabbos, so it's also used to wash. Mashma, if you have water that was heated on Erev Shabbos, you're allowed to take a shower, you're allowed to use it to wash. So is that true? V'hatanya, we know that's not true. Even water that was heated up on Erev Shabbos, L'machar, the next day, Shabbos, what's the most you're allowed to do? Rochis ben part of the Gufo. You can't use it to wash your whole body. So how can the Mishnah be saying that the Rabbanan told the Anshi Tveria, if it's heated on Shabbos, it's like your mamish heated it, cooked it on Shabbos, and therefore you can't use it to wash your whole body? What do you mean? Even if it was cooked on Erev Shabbos, you can't use it to wash your whole body? So the Mishnah can't be referring to that. Ella panav yad v'raglav. So it must be referring to even washing your hands, feet, and face. That's what it's saying. That if some water that was cooked on Shabbos, you can't even use to wash your hands. Masha'enki, water that was cooked on Erev Shabbos, that you could use to wash your hands. You just can't use it to wash your whole body. So that we figured out line A of the Mishnah. But if that's true, if rechitza refers to panav yad v'raglav, then the seifa is a problem. Ema seifa, the second line. If you have water that was heated on Yontif, the Rabbanan told the Anshi Tveria that if you heated it on Yontif, that is as if you, if it's a Yontif, that is as if you heated this water on Yontif, and it's also to use it for washing on Yontif. And we just said, what does that mean? What does Rechitza mean in the Mishnah? Panav Yontif Aragla. That's how we just interpreted line A of the Mishnah. So line B of the Mishnah, Lachor, is talking about the same Rechitza. So if it was heated on Yontif, it's also to use for washing your hands and feet on Yontif, Umutar and Bishtia. Lematzan Samaka Beishamai. So is that saying that our Mishnah is like Beishamai from Beitza? Ditznan, because we know where Beishamai holds. Beishamai Omer Loyechma Adon Lacham Laragla, Velam Kemru Uyin Lishtia. Beishamai says he does not hold of the principle that's called Mitoch. We know you're allowed to cook water on Shabbos to drink. Are you allowed to cook on Yontif to drink? Are you allowed to cook water on Yontif to wash your hands? So Beis Shammai says no. He does not hold of the principle of mitoch shehutra l'tzarach achol nefesh, hutra na mishalo l'tzarach achol nefesh. He does not hold of that principle that you're allowed to cook water for other things. So therefore, that Beisela matir. Beisela, we hold like Beisela. Beisela is matir. But so the Gemara asks, what do you mean? So our Mishnah is like Beis Shammai? Because our Mishnah, we just explained, if you say our Mishnah means rechitza panav yad v'raglav, so if it was heated on Yotav, you can't even wash panav yad v'raglav, so then that seems to be like Beis Shammai. So could that be? So we don't like to say it. That's Amar Bika Bar Chananya. No, lishtadim kol gufo askinan. Really, our Mishnah is referring to rechitzas kol gufo, not just panav yad v'raglav, against the possibility number one. Aye, but we had the problem. Then the diuk would be from the Mishnah that water that was heated on Erev Shabbos, you're allowed to wash kol gufo on Shabbos. So the answer is yes. There is an opinion out there that says that the high Tanahu, the Tanya, is like the following opinion. Rabbi Meir holds usher across the board, hot water or cold water on Shabbos. You're not allowed to take a bath or a shower. But this is forgetting the issue of getting your hair wet and schita. This is your body. This is your body. Divra Meir. Meir says that's usher. Some of it is usher. Why can you take a cold bath? The answer is because that's a gzeira. That's a gzeira against taking baths and showers on Shabbos, even where the water was heated up before Shabbos or if it's cold. Rabbi Shimon Matir. Rabbi Shimon says, no, it's mutter even by hot water that was heated on Erev Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Rabbi Yehuda is the middle opinion. Bacham and Aser Bitsonin Mutter. Rabbi Yehuda said, no, if it was hot water, it's Aser. That's like Zera Bitsonin is Mutter. So therefore, our Mishnah is referring to Kol Gufo, and it's like the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. I don't pass like Rabbi Shimon either. So what's the difference between Beis Shammai or Rabbi Shimon? So the answer is Beis Shammai is a rejected opinion. The Gemara says, Beis Shammai ain't a Mishnah. So we definitely do not like to have a Stam Asnisen like Beis Shammai. To have a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Shimon is okay, even though we don't pass like Rabbi Shimon. So that's the That's the Gemara, how we interpret, how we connect it to our Mishnah. Let's stop there for a minute, and I just want to go do the halacha l'maisa. Just in terms of showering and stuff on Shabbos, and going getting wet on Shabbos. Again, Yantif, the later, in a couple of lines here, it talks about this part of the issue of showering on Yantif comes from this Gemara also. But the Gemara says, the Shulchan Aruch says, in Shin Chavav, Aser Lirchot Kol Gufo Afilo Kol Eiv Ve'Eiv Ve'Levad Afilo B'Mayiv Shochmo Be'Erev Shabbos. We hold like the first opinion here, like Reb Meir. You're not allowed to be Rochis Kol Gufo on Shabbos, even Bitzonein, right? Bein B'Kli Bein B'Karka Afilo Lishpoch Amayim Al Gufo Ulehishtatev. I'm sorry, not Sonein. B'Mayiv Shochmo Be'Erev Shabbos. Even to pour water on your body, Ulehishtatev Aser. Avol Muter Lirchot Ban Parnav Yadav Raglav Oshar Eivarim Kol She'Ena Rochis Kol Gufo. As long as you don't wash your whole body, you can wash your hand here, a hand there, that would be mutter. But the Mishnah Berurah here points out, Nahagu shlo lirchots binahar, which means even in cold water, the minog, even though Me'ikra Din, jumping into a cold river, you know, might not be included in the Gzeira, says the Mishnah Berurah, the minog is not to. Kasva poskim, denagu shlo lirchots klal binahar uba mikvah, dematzi labo lide schita seyar, schita is an issue, vod kamatamim ayin b'mong en Avram. That is the issue. What about the mikvah? What about the mikvah? Obviously, women go to the mikvah. Bizman hazeh, women go in warm/hot mikvah. So the post can talk about. There's a karbon asana that says, when it comes to a tefillas mitzvah, that was never included in the gzeirah. Well, as long as the water was heated before Shabbos, wasn't included in the gzeirah, which makes a lot of sense. And that comes up. But Be'ikar Adin, there is no sheet of kalgufo, bein b'cham and bein b'sonis. So even if a child gets totally dirty and wet, he shouldn't be taking a bath on Shabbos. Because there's an isod rabbanon of rechitas kalgufo. You want to wash different parts of his body, that's fine. Again, yantiv is a separate story. We don't have time. We're running out of time. But yantiv, they're obviously more cool. So again, hair, schita, b'seir, there's no difference between Shabbos and yantiv. So getting one's hair wet on yantiv, there's no issue. There is flexibility in terms of the other. And also diluting the shampoo. If you have thick shampoo, there's going to be an issue of memachik or memareach. But if you have the diluted shampoo, and then you don't get your hair wet, so then there's more flexibility. I'm not poskening, but there's more flexibility on Yantif, especially a 3-day Yantif and Yishvitzi and etc. Then more flexibility than Shabbos. Okay, Amar of Chizda. The next few lines will go quickly, but we'll continue tomorrow. Okay, let's stop here. The shiur this week was Lichanefes Dav Tzvi Ben Dov Mordechai, and I go and have a good Shabbos. Amen. I'd rather say the halacha than.